Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 in 10. In 10 minutes, I'm looking at 10 important developments in the world of financial services in March 2024. I'll also offer my thoughts on what it all means to banks, credit unions, and fintechs. First up, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau banned what they deemed to be excessive credit card late fees, lowering the average $32 late fee on credit cards to a maximum of $8. According to the CFPB, this rule change is going to save American consumers about $10 billion a year, or cost the credit card issuers $10 billion, whichever way you look at it. The ABA, the CBA, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce are now suing the CFPB. Their argument? Interest rates will have to go up to make up for the revenue lost. Credit availability will go down. Lending standards will tighten for all customers when late fees are only ever a factor for a minority of customers. Research suggests that high credit card late fees are a deterrent for the majority of consumers. So if those go away, the harm to consumers in the long term would outweigh any short-term benefits. The second headline in March that I want to dig into is the growing mainstream opposition to the Federal Reserve's Basel III endgame proposal. There are billboards on the drive home from work. There are TV ads during football games. These are alerting the general public to the fact that the banks are not happy about the proposal for strict new capital rules. Now, it's important to know that the Basel III capital rules are a global undertaking, but here in the United States, the regulators are proposing capital standards that are higher than international standards. In addition to that, more banks are going to have to comply with the capital rules than before. The current rules apply to banks above $250 billion in assets. The new rules apply to banks above $100 billion in assets. The regulators say that all of this is going to make the U.S. banking system safer, but the banks say their balance sheets are going to be impacted to such a degree to diminish their competitiveness on the global stage. One thing is for certain, this all comes at a time when the fundamentals of banking are changing. Costlier deposits, lower fee income, and certainly hefty competition from the fintech banks, the headwinds are considerable. At number three, a growing call from consumers for financial institutions to protect them from financial scams. In March, there was a high-profile article in Time magazine, "Banks Aren't Doing Enough to Protect Customers from Scams." That was the title. It builds an argument that banks need to take more responsibility for combating increasingly sophisticated scams that ultimately lead consumers to authorize transactions under false pretenses. So far, financial institutions have been protected from this kind of fraud so long as the consumer authorized the transaction. But scams represent a problem that's ballooned since the pandemic, especially with consumers getting more comfortable sending money through P2P payment systems like Zelle and Venmo. The Federal Trade Commission says customers lost nearly $9 billion to scams in 2022, and that was up 30% over the prior year. Financial institutions are going to have to invest in much stronger fraud management tools in the coming years. What's the real motivation here? It's the customers. It's the members. In a March study by MeridianLink, 48% of consumers say they want their bank or credit union to prioritize protecting them from fraud and scams. At number four in our headline countdown, one-third of banks are now banning employees from using generative AI. This from a recently released study by American Banker. While banks do express optimism about the benefits of AI, there's a strong feeling by many bankers that we know too little about AI to deploy it widely across the business right now. Notably, 57% of banks said that they may loosen those restrictions in the next year, and that's likely a result of gaining more fluency in the technology and also gaining some experience with use cases. What's clear is that bankers are concerned about risk assessment of generative AI, bad information, errors, no sources to fact check, the possibility of sensitive information feeding the AI model and then getting outside the bank. These are all good reasons to be concerned, but not good reasons to hesitate for too long. Why? Because the big banks and the fintech banks are moving quickly on AI. The guidelines from the regulators are starting to come in. Those will be helpful, and banks can really manage the risk by starting with a single use case and expanding from there as expertise builds. At number five, fintech bank Dave is profitable for the first time since going public in January of 2022. They set guidance in November that they would be profitable in the fourth quarter, and they hit their target. $10 million in adjusted earnings, $200,000 in net income. Dave joins SoFi in swinging to this long-awaited profitability. Dave's business is a little bit unique. It's focused on cash advances through their extra cash product. They use soft data, not credit scores, and they made $1 billion in cash advances in the fourth quarter. The artificial intelligence-driven cash AI system is what really allows them to assess risk ahead of making cash advances, and it's a differentiator in the cash advance market. Dave relies on bank balances and transaction activity from customers' Dave bank accounts. They rely on income that includes gig work and also a history with Dave to determine the approval amounts for the cash advance. And here's an interesting point. If you look at credit card delinquencies, those are trending up industry-wide. But Dave's delinquencies on cash advances are trending down. They say it's because of cash AI. Low delinquency rates are certainly very positive, but how does Dave make money? Optional tips and expedited transfer fees, and those amount to about $9 on average per cash advance. Dave is forecasting a profitable full year 2024, and of course, we're going to be watching. The sixth headline is the ongoing bated breath wait for the Federal Reserve to begin to lower interest rates. In March, they held rates steady again, and they said that they expect to make three rate cuts in 2024, but possibly not until the fourth quarter, given everything that we've heard in the past few days. We're maybe running out of time for three rate cuts. The financial industry is in an era of transition. The fundamentals of how banks and credit unions generate income, those have shifted in a rising rate environment. There's significant regulatory scrutiny of fee income and the emerging threat of new competitors. Deposit rates have dropped from 5.3 to 5.0% since the beginning of the year. Overall, deposits are down, delinquencies are rising, and loan loss reserves are creeping up. The big question is, will loan demand increase as rates come down? There's something to keep in mind. During the period of high interest rates that we've been in, fintech banks have surged. Nearly 50% of deposit accounts opened in the last year were with fintech banks. The fintech banks are now doing a pretty good job of converting secondary accounts to primary accounts. They're expanding the relationship to other financial services products, and I expect to see them get very active in the lending market as activity resumes. At number seven, the FDIC's fourth quarter 2023 quarterly banking profile became available in March, and it shows just how challenging the environment is for banks at the moment. Overall, banks registered a 2.3% decline in net income, but community banks were down 9.9% on higher non-interest expense and also higher loan loss provisions. Loan growth was higher, but mainly due to seasonal credit cards. We also saw the highest delinquencies since 2011. And that brings me to the eighth headline. What does the NCUA quarterly credit union data summary for the fourth quarter reveal? Credit unions reported an 18.8% year-over-year decline in net income. Interest income was up. Non-interest income was up. So what's going on? It's loan loss provisions. They were up 106% to $11.3 billion amid delinquency rates that were up 21 basis points, 211 basis points in credit cards. Net charge-offs were up 27 basis points. What we're seeing here is members dealing with much higher interest rates, continuing inflation, student loan payments kicking back in, and this all shows in the fourth quarter data. Coming in at number nine is a comment I heard FDIC Chairman Martin Grunberg make during his press conference announcing the fourth quarter bank results. He pointed out the sector troubles in commercial real estate lending. He says he's concerned about non-current loans and charge-offs trending up. Office values are softening right at the time $900 billion in CRE loans come due in 2024. CRE delinquencies are the highest they've been in 10 years, and banks with CRE concentrations have significantly increased their loan loss reserves in preparation for trouble. Notably, he didn't point to any positive forecasts for CRE, and in fact, he suggested that banks need more C&I lending and less CRE lending. Last but not least is the impact of the commercial real estate lending sector recession on New York Community Bank. Here we see the perils of concentration risk as the bank raised $1 billion from investors, including former U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's Liberty Strategic Capital. They replaced the CEO, who had only been in his position for a very short period of time. They've also hired a chief risk officer and a head auditor and delayed their annual report. And this all signals that heavy lifting is going to be required to emerge from a very challenging situation. There are weaknesses in internal controls, a concentration in CRE lending that is essentially in a sector recession, and rapid fire management changes. This all means that all eyes are going to be on first quarter earnings due to be reported at the end of April, when we will most likely see continued balance sheet stress. Now, we have so many spots to watch throughout 2024, regulation, earnings, artificial intelligence use cases. Thanks for listening into this episode of FinTech Unleashed 10 in 10. I'll be back with you next month for another look at the headlines that matter most in the financial services industry. And until then, have a great rest of your day.